For those who haven't heard, again, apologies if you have before, but just a quick testimony just to say thank God for your prayers. We're all involved in this, but the Lord did some mighty things in India last couple of weeks. Healings, cancers gone, wounds opened, praise God, blind eyes opened, hallelujah. Somebody got saved, praise God, shortly before they went to be with the Lord, they confessing Jesus, so we shall see them in glory. But praise God, above all, this word, this message was received. Changes took place where now they're practicing apostolic baptism, baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. They're hearing this message, they're pursuing this message, and so churches are being established. At least 35 New Testament churches established.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pursuing the word of God. I heard from Joss tonight, we're praying for you. He went back to the place where we were, praying for you for your next visit to come back. And it's the word, it's the message from this assembly going forth. And your prayers were part of that. I was just so aware. Yes, under satanic attack, but never mind that. God is faithful. He was answering your prayers and the word was going forth. Friends, there's no need to fear the giants of the land. It's not like just something we're saying, jumping on a bandwagon. When the word goes forth, spoken in faith in Jesus' name, the enemy flees. He hates it. He cannot stand where the word is received. God has gone before. This is why we've been waiting on God. It's because God is working at both ends. He goes before, he prepares the way, he prepares the vessel, he prepares those that are going to receive it, and they receive the word, the message, the ministry. And that's where the power is. So don't despise the trials, the preparation, the tests. This is the most important part of our ministry. Because we're also very well aware it's the whole body, but we're still in a time of preparation. It's still the message of the cross. It's still faith, discipleship, commitment. And what God does with those who believe and who are committed, praise God, that's his business. He brings, he's calling sons, he's calling overcomers. But there's a consecration, there's a separation by the Spirit on those. And it's those, all of those who are receiving the baptism, the greatest revelation, be an overcomer. Seek to be an overcomer. And from those who have taken up that cross, who are then walking in that way, we realise it's a calling from before the foundation of the world. And all those who are receiving the message, all those who are receiving the baptism of the Spirit, God is calling to himself sons. We know not all will experience that, but you can see him preparing. You can see with the wheat and the tares, with those that are still want to be ministered to, those who are still happy in their denominational compromise. You can see the whole, as it were, the bigger picture, the broader landscape, you know, the broad strokes. God will fill in the details. All we do is preach that word. Those who are of the truth will hear it. Those that have been called will respond. And when you see them respond, praise God, you see the devil flee. And those who are otherwise, God knows. God knows. You can't force your experience on everybody who calls themselves a Christian. Those who respond, God will bring with him. There's a first fruits, there's an order. But just get the word out. And this is what I believe God wants to encourage us with further this evening. Yes, there are times, there are doors of opportunity. There's, you know, according to the ministry, whatever it is, that specific calling that God sends a person out. But dear friends, we are all called to faith. We're all called to discipleship. We're all called to commitment. And it's only man that makes a difference. In God's eyes, He loves us that much, he sent Jesus to the cross for us. We're all the same in God's eyes. The different calling, well, that's what God ordained. But what God is getting to, he's getting to relationship, he's getting to the heart, because he's preparing a body of overcomers. He's bringing an end time army to perfection that he will use in this end time. The fivefold ministry is a John the Baptist type ministry, just as John the Baptist prepared the people of Israel, God's people, for the first advent. So this John the Baptist type ministry, the fivefold, is preparing the body of Christ for Jesus' second advent. praise God. So it's a work of preparation. Don't get restless. Oh, God isn't using me yet. Rest in God, because God is preparing, he's getting ready to use you. Overcomers, the works of Jesus, the greater works, the book of Acts experience being relived again in this day. Praise God. Praise his name. The most important part of our ministry and our life, our walk with God, yes, we can get carried away with ministry, but it's discipleship, it's relationship, as we wait on God. Yes, we can seek God. Why am I in the assembly? What is my place, calling in the body of Christ? And we begin by faith to move out in it. But don't think everybody's got to go all over the place to India, China, Africa, whatever. Move as the Lord leads. It's on your doorstep, it's in your family, it's a next door neighbour, it's where we work. Praise God. And so we've been well taught, haven't we, in this assembly, that, you know, clergy, laity, that we're all involved, we're all a royal priesthood, we all function charismatically. Whatever we do, wherever we go, we pray, we fast, we intercede, whether it's here or anywhere else where God sends us, whatever our ministry, whatever our calling, prayer, fasting, intercession, witnessing, serving our neighbour in love, pressing on. You see, the apostles insisted that the ultimate goal, the ultimate aim of the Christian walk is the crucified life, the perfection of the believer. And so there'll be times, wilderness experiences, times when things go wrong. What do you do then? It's not all glory, and it is glorious, but God allows things to go wrong. God will always be exposing the heart. Whatever we're doing, God will perfect us in that situation. So we'll praise God. We're all under the hand of God. We're all in that same walk. We're all involved in that. So there's nothing religious. Just because you seem to be working in what you might think is a secular employment, and others spend their whole time in the word and prayer, that's a religious distinction. It's not how God set it up. If there's a Christian doing an edifying a job that glorifies him, God is in that as much as in a pastor or teacher's ministry. Do you see what we're saying? We're all equal, we're all equally important in the eyes of God. And that was one of the things that we were looking at over in India, the restoration of a true body ministry, because they still had this religious thing. But, you know, I saw those religious principalities, those religious spirits just crumble as the truth of God's word went out and was received. Praise God. And so it is here. So it is here. You may have been tempted to doubt, perhaps, that, well, is this deeper life message? I know it's profound, I know it's a blessing, but it's taking so long. Are we on the right track? Other churches seem to be blessed and prospering. Friends, believe me, this is the word of the Lord. When you see how God works when it's preached, when it's ministered in faith, it's a vindication of the revelation of the ministry. God is calling sons. And as hard as it is at times as we wait on him, it's that precious relationship. It's that first fruits that God is working with. Whatever we're called to do. Praise God. And I believe now as an assembly, as an army, as a unit, move into the next thing that God has for us, we're going to experience this more and more. We're going to see the power of this. We're going to see, as it unfolds, how it's all made sense. Every trial, every experience, good or bad, every apparent delay in our answers to prayer, every time that we've had to seek God or wait on God to know his will, we're going to see where it's all fitted and why he's worked with us. More and more increasing. And of course, we'll ultimately get that answer as stand before him, but fall prostrate before him in eternity. We're going to know why. All our questions are going to be answered. Why we went through what we went through. Praise God. But it's to eternity we must look. Now, I want to look at something, praise God, in this in this situation, in this context. And the most powerful thing, or like a twofold, is our separation. We've got to understand our separation and our union with Christ. Most powerful operations of the Spirit in our life. This brings us into a supernatural realm. Forget all religion, forget all works, all laws, as we look in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is where we fight. And we're going to look at the answer, we're going to look at the problem and the answer, both of which we already know. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Start with verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Endurance, enduring that hardship. You'll remember from Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 that we have need of endurance, that after we've done the will of God we will inherit the promise. Friends, that endurance is so that after we have done God's will inherit the promise. And we are called upon to endure hardness, because whether we like it or not, we are in a warfare. The devil cannot stop us, praise God. He tried, but he couldn't stop us getting saved. We're called to salvation. Couldn't stop us getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, though perhaps he tried. Then we came into this walk, and we got the revelation, the teaching of the cross, and what he's now seeking to do, and sadly how he does occasionally, we are targeted. And he's put all his, as it were, he's left the others who are compromising, who are not effective in the kingdom. He's left them alone because they're not a threat to him. If he attacked them, it would wake them up. They'd become a threat. So he's left them alone. Those who mean business with God, he now attacks, because he's trying to stop us becoming effective in God's kingdom and pulling down the strongholds of his kingdom. And so many of our brothers and sisters do not truly understand spiritual warfare. Some even preach against it. But if we're taking up our cross, if we're following Jesus as disciples, if we're believing God, we are a threat. We are in that spiritual warfare. Now, the first thing we need to do, there's some things in this. First of all, through these trials, through the endurance of these hardships, through our daily walk with God, we're learning dependence upon him. Some have tried to have faith for a serious financial crisis, or to heal cancer, or to heal a broken bone, or to heal something serious, and it just isn't there. Because what we've got to learn is faith cannot simply be used as a fire escape, as a spare wheel, as an emergency measure. Faith is daily trusting God in every circumstance. It's total dependence every day, each day, in the circumstances we find ourselves. And as we release faith in that, as we believe God in that, we're daily strengthened. We walk with him. Come the trial, that faith, that grace will be there. And so whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, we're enduring that hardship. Because you know, the other thing that maybe we've misunderstood, and it's come as a revelation to me, I'm not assuming therefore that you've had to have it revealed, you've probably already known this, but it's not just reading scripture, getting the word in our hearts, that is the seed. Jesus says the seed is the word of God. But what is it about God's word that implants that seed in our heart? It's a revelation of God's will. In everything God said is the seed of the divine life. It's a revelation of his will. As his will is known, embraced, and acted on, that is the seed that is planted. As we regularly water and nurture that seed by knowing and doing his will each day, then that becomes that life-giving force and power. John 15, Jesus said, "You're clean through the word which I've spoken to you." It's not some kind of, you know, I'm not being flippant, it's not some kind of supernatural magic soap. It's as you obey. It's the our obedience to God's word. His life, his power cleanses us. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." It's that taking heed which we know. So as we continue to sow in that way, we then experience the life, the power that is in God's word bears fruit. The earth brings forth fruit of itself. Yes, there are things that have to happen to that earth. It's ploughed up, it's fed. But no farmer, when he plants a seed and he does what he has to do, as long as he's done his bit, he doesn't go wake up every night and get a torch and dig it up and kill it at the roots and first thing in the morning, has it sprouted yet? He knows from experience. Put the seed in the soil, it's been ploughed, he's done what he had to do. God will do the rest. Nature will do the rest. It brings forth fruit of itself. And this is the rest that God has called us to. As we sit under this word, our hearts and the power of God's word, God working, the fruit will come forth of itself. We must learn to rest in God and allow God's word to do its work. Instead of looking inward, has it happened yet? Am I believing yet? Is this a miracle yet? Just leave it with God as we get on each day with what God has called us to do. And here's the point. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Our life, our ministry, is to be exactly as Jesus' was. Jesus is the pattern for all that we are and do. What was it that characterized Jesus above all else? Complete obedience. I do nothing of myself but what the Father shows me. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. The Father has not left me alone. He's with me. Why? Because I do always those things that please him. And what's our problem? Well, there are things that God is delivering us from. The entanglements of this life, the affairs of this life. God has separated us from that. He's consecrated us to a life of spiritual warfare. And he wants us to please him that's enlisted us as a soldier. How? That we remain free in our hearts. We all have a set of circumstances each day to cope with. It's not right for one who's been blessed with a certain set of circumstances to criticise another or to preach it in such a way that they're insensitive to what others are going through. I've used the example before. It sort of gets to me when really good-looking people say to ugly people, "Looks don't matter." Or wealthy people go up to poor people and say, "You know, money isn't everything." Praise God. Right? We all face a set of circumstances tailor-made for what God has called us to. We can't judge by the outward appearance what another person is going through. But what we are saying is God is dealing with the heart, the attitudes, the motives. How much of this busyness, this entanglement, is our own making? Is our own pride, our own perfectionism, our own fussiness about things? If God has blessed us with a family, you see, let's take the context of this. An unmarried apostle who's, praise God, by the grace of God, devoted his entire life to his ministry. Occasionally, praise God, he chose to indulge tent making so that he was not chargeable to the church. But he was completely free in Christ. Writing to an unmarried pastor teacher. So you could say, well, that's very easy for you to say, don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. But here's a principle. Because God's will, you've been blessed with a marriage, you've been blessed with a job. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the entanglement in the heart, the emotions, the affections, the attitude. We're in the world, but not of it. And God is setting us free so that we can engage effectively in a warfare. How can we war against an enemy or the enemy if that enemy is actually our friend? He holds a place in our heart. And God is tearing down those strongholds that the devil has set up. And we find truly that our biggest problem is that pride. That everything has to be right in our circumstances. No, it doesn't. Everything is already as right as it's going to be. As long as we can say Jesus the Messiah reigns, as long as we know God is in control, how wrong can it be? Our circumstances may be a bit rocky. God may be dealing with areas of the flesh, of pride, of self. God may be exposing things in order to set us free. But that's got nothing to do with our confession. As long as we know God is in control, isn't that all that matters? And God is setting us free from that fear. We looked at it the other time, didn't we? That as it came as a revelation. What does it matter what's going to happen to me? What's happening to me? What will become of me? What am I going through? We're being crucified with Christ. It's the cross. Have we not settled the cross? Have we not settled the conditions of discipleship? Forsake all. Leave all behind. Put your hand to the plough and do not look back. This is all part of our warfare. This is all part of seeking the kingdom of God. You see, because the kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. Now, yes, we've been waiting on God, haven't we? We've been waiting and seeking God and learning. And there have been times when God has led us specifically in warfare. But friends, this warfare is not, you know, it's an anointing. It's not a formula. Jesus' name is not a formula to try and get things working. Because we've learned that there's power in the name of Jesus. And God will honour the name of Jesus. And everything that we seek to do will only prosper if we use the name of Jesus. So use the name of Jesus as a formula to make things work. That's not what it's about. It's knowing and doing God's will. To speak or to move in the name of Jesus is to move and speak according to his will, to fulfill the thing in which he has sent. We represent him. And so what is this warfare then? Praise God, let's have a look. We've been set free, we've been separated, and that's the first thing we have to acknowledge. Stop fighting. God has called us, separated us, to the reality of warfare. And sometimes through fear or pride we want to resist that because it's inconvenient at the moment. I don't feel like it, or there's fear. I'm not sure I can. God has given us that authority in the name of Jesus. Now this engagement, this entanglement, God has blessed us with marriage. He's blessed us with jobs. That's not an entanglement. But when we start taking all that so seriously, we get embroiled in the emotions of it. We take our eyes off the Lord and make it more than it really is. That's when we become entangled. As we look to Jesus, as we know what it is to leave these things in his hands, as well as appropriate what he's provided for that situation, that's when we begin to experience the breakthroughs. We've been waiting, we've been preparing, and I really believe now God wants us to begin to experience breakthroughs. There are things that we are waiting on God that need the gifts in operation. Let's look at that in 2 Corinthians. This glorious warfare, friends, it's an anointing. It's a knowledge of our faith and our authority, our position in Christ. Why? Because there's no point in indulging in this warfare if you're not sure or if you're wondering what the outcome will be. We already have the victory in Christ Jesus in his name. Now we've got to know that going into that situation, because the devil will immediately pick it up and he won't turn loose of his victim. This is why the preparation. It's far better to take 30, 40, 50 years preparing and then have the last 5 minutes in that intense warfare and the victory than to rush in because, oh, well, everybody else is doing it. We've got to know what we're doing. These weapons that God has given us, they're real. And we're learning to use them. That rod of authority, the sword and the shield and all the other things that God has given us. He's teaching us through our trials, through our daily walk, that confidence, that absolute confidence that they will do the job that God says they'll do. Do you not think that God is equal to any task he's put before you? The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. We already have the victory. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, this mountain shall be removed. We've just got to learn to get out of the way, just to believe God and speak his word in faith. And these things will be accomplished. Sons have an authority. The devil has usurped our position of dominion. And God is restoring. It's not volume. I mean, the preacher can get excited, but when we speak in authority against the powers of darkness, faith is not loudness of noise. God will hear me because I'm shouting. God or the devil is not deaf. He doesn't respond to volume because volume is flesh. You can whisper the name of Jesus, but whisper it in faith and the powers of darkness will come crumbling down. We're up against Jerichos. We're up against giants. But we already have the victory because God has already given us that land. All we've got to know is what his will is in how we appropriate what he's given us. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's take the whole of the first six verses for the context. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, 1-6. Now I, Paul, myself, pleading with you. Listen to this, the apostle pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. So you see already, he's setting the scene. It's not what we are in the flesh. As stewards, as servants, we're gentle, we're meek. But there is an authority and a boldness. But we don't use that boldness to crush or to impose our agenda or to try and deal with problems in our own strength or what we think needs dealing with. But as we humble ourselves before God, our message is pure because God will address the need at that time. He will meet that need by the word. He'll give the right word at the right time. He meets us where we are in the faith. And praise God, he never leaves us there. He brings us on to the next thing that he has for us. But we meet with him. He meets with us. That's the point. That's where the life-changing redemption takes place, is where Jesus meets us at the level of our faith. It's not up to a man to set the agenda. Well, I can clearly see this is wrong. God has given me discernment. That's wrong. Let's deal with it. That's flesh. That's not how God works. So the pureness of the message, the purity of the message, is that it's God. It's not man's mind, but God gives that message, meets and speaks with the people, quickens their faith, the change takes place. The servant of the Lord is meek, is gentle, is being humbled, broken by God, so that the message is pure and not tainted with man's intellect or pride. And he says, I beg you, that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So they're tempting him, aren't they? They're testing him, they're proving, they're challenging his apostleship. Go on, prove it. You say you're an apostle, let's see it. And he's saying, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We don't war according to the flesh. Yes, human beings, we're in a body of flesh, but that is not our warfare. It's not the intellect. It's not humanism. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. There's some mighty things happening here. This high thing, every proud thing. Friends, have we understood here, yes, the need for the gifts, which we'll come to in a minute, but let's start with pulling down the high things, the strongholds that oppose God. If we've got the message, we used to think, right, there's a difference. There's the flesh, there's the powers of darkness. Let's discern the difference between the works of the flesh and a work of a demon. But I want to explore the relationship, not to confuse it, but pride and the works of the flesh are the throne upon which Satan oppresses and destroys God's people. There is a definite relationship between pride and arrogance and stubbornness, haughtiness, the works of the flesh, and satanic oppression and even destruction. If we came against our pride with the same disgust, the same holy violence that we come against Satan, we have got the message. If we're saying of our pride, oh well, the Lord knows, God is merciful, is that how we address Satan? Is that how we would come against the devil in the name of Jesus? Is that our attitude to sin and sickness? What was Jesus' attitude? Yes, he was moved with compassion, but he knew that the devil was the destroyer. He was a murderer, a liar. Humility, the things of meekness, the fruit of the Spirit, that humbleness before God, it's exactly the same as the mercy seat. It's the throne upon which God rules his people. It's like this point of contact principle in the spiritual realm. Our faith works by love. God is humbling us, he's breaking us. Our faith is a walk of daily dependence upon God. And that's where we meet God. The pride manifests itself in independence. We're independent from God. We are our own gods. We're establishing our own kingdom. And then God, in his mercy, he begins to break down those idols. He begins to break down that pride. Ah, Lord, we need you. Oh, I'm so sorry, Father, I need you. I'm going through an emergency now. I have something I need. Now I'm going to seek you. And then the circumstances change and we forget and we begin to become independent of God and the cycle repeats itself. But at some point, the overcomer has been so dealt with by God, he doesn't need to go through that constant cycle like the children of Israel did. That was the whole point of the children of Israel. Idolatry, God punish, they would repent, God would forgive, re-establish, they would forget God. It was a whole sin-punishment cycle. Not for the believer. Not for one in whom dwells the Holy Spirit. Once we've been established in that brokenness, that cross-working, the removal of that spirit of independence from God, as we submit to him, seeking him each day, walking in his presence daily, praising him, loving him, seeking him daily. Praise God, we're going to find our faith. We're going to find God anointing us in ways, gifts of the Spirit, using us in warfare, because he can trust us. It's not just us trusting him. It's not just our faith, praise God, living, active faith. But he says, there is a vessel I can trust. I can put him or her in any situation. They're separated unto me. The only thing on their hearts is my glory and doing my will. I'm going to anoint them because they're the ones that my will prosper in their hands. Whatever they do, they're going to be faithful. And that's what God is looking for. Faithful, separated unto him. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not human. They're not humanistic. They're not fleshly. They're not weak. It's not intellectual. It's not psychology. It's not medical science. It's not the things that man has invented. but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The regular manifestation of all the gifts of the Spirit are part of God's provision for meeting the needs of removing the curse that sin, that the devil through sin has put upon us. Now, yes, we've been taught over the years to believe God, to look to Jesus, and that really the gifts of the Spirit are for the evangelistic ministry, but we cannot limit God as to the manifestation of how he's going to fulfill his promises. As we look to Jesus, as we look to God, we realise, and again, I don't want to keep harking back to, you know, what I did, but it was the Lord doing it, or rather, sorry, what I saw, but I believe God's bringing this up. There are some things that can only be met with the gift of faith, the working of miracles, the gifts of the Spirit in operation, because of the immediacy, the need of it. We can believe a thing and allow the fruit of faith to work 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, the promise will be fulfilled. But I saw some sights out there that I'm thinking, thank you Lord, that apostolic ministry, it's Jesus got to be doing it. The gifts have got to be operating. There's no other way but for the gifts to operate. And the gifts have been set in the church. So yes, we're believing promises. Yes, we're waiting on God. But I believe the next thing that he has for us, as we continue to war in the Spirit and press in that violence by the Spirit, not getting all upset, but by the Spirit, the gifts are going to start operating. The gift of faith, the working of miracles, various gifts of healing. Praise God, word of knowledge. We're going to be specific to remove what has caused that. Discerning of spirits. These are weapons in our warfare. Praise God, as well as the word, as well as faith and that anointing. Because we can't do it in our own strength. Praise God. But you see, we've got to be in a place of faith and consecration for that. God wants us to pull down those strongholds. A formula will not do it. It's got to be that authority, that anointing, that bold command of faith in the name of Jesus. And there's also a personal warfare, casting down arguments. Those arguments in the mind, those doubts and fears, and is it, and yea, has God said. Every high thing, that pride that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have the authority to bring that into captivity by praying in the Spirit, by saturating our hearts and minds with God's word and his promises. It's a daily discipline. As we praise him, do you know praise can do that? Sometimes we labour and we work and we labour and struggle praying in the Spirit and trying to memorise scripture. Oh, just praise the living God. The high praises of God. Praise will clothe the believer with a protective garment that Satan cannot penetrate. Praise will frighten the enemy because he's expecting, oh no, not again. But when you go, glory to God, praise the living God, that will upset him. He will flee. He's not expecting that. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. He cannot stay in the same place where the name of Jesus is being exalted in praise and thanksgiving. Yes, Lord, I'm listening. So, yeah, it's not anything we do, is it? But we experience, we've seen some things and we just know in the Spirit. Yeah, we're not compromising. Faith is faith. It will move mountains. But I'm telling you, friends, we know in our hearts that the next thing God has for us, this fruitfulness, there is a power of the Spirit that is to be characterised, just as Jesus walked in that power. He went through the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and came out in the power of the Spirit. He didn't have to do anything, did he? He just, wherever he went, the powers of darkness got agitated. Wherever he went, God's will was accomplished. God does not have to do anything, he just has to turn up. And that's what it does, that's what it is with us, the sons of God. We just go into a place and God does whatever he wants to do. One way you'll know that if God is going to use you in a ministry of deliverance is that wherever you go, the powers of darkness will manifest. I'll tell you, God's presence in you, that anointing, the demons will get upset. Don't go looking for it, they'll come to you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yes, I won't forget that in a hurry. Ministering to someone, I mentioned, look, all you need is your faith in the blood of Jesus. And this demon just screamed out of this woman. Praise God. And she was set free, gave her heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. Prayed for her. Well, you know the story. Praise God. She was barren. She's now a joyful mother of a baby daughter. Didn't do a thing. It was just talking about faith in the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I have to say, nothing I did. I just went to see God at work. And it's your prayers that were doing it. God is answering our prayers. God is answering our prayers. That was an answer to your prayers. When we get into glory, when we see in eternity, who's going to get the reward? Well, the person who did the work. So it may be me, but praise God, I'll know it'll be some of you, praise God, who pressed through, who prayed. God answered our prayers. We're all involved in this. And so, praise God, you have experienced that. You know that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty when God answers those prayers. So now we face Jerichos. The work is still there to do. There are giants in the land. But praise God, as we set ourselves to seeking God, as we set ourselves to believe in God, obeying him. What did the children of Israel do? Charge at it? No. Walk round in obedience, in silence. They followed the instructions that God gave them. Made no sense at all, to the point where all the people in Jericho were laughing their heads off. laughing. What are these people doing? But still, they maintained their silence. They maintained their discipline. They exactly carried out the instructions God gave them. And then, praise God, at the appointed time, blew the ram's horns, which is a shout of victory from the priests, represents. Down came the walls. God, who knocked them down? God knocked them down. Wasn't the children of Israel. It wasn't the vibration from the sound of the ram's horns. That was God. It was supernatural. And thus it will be in our experience. Thus it will be in our experience. Praise God. I do nothing of myself but what the Father shows me. He's the one speaking the words. He's the one doing the works. Praise God. When I was there speaking, a man came in. He was a pastor. Didn't have a wheelchair. He came in on his hands. He was pulling himself along on his hands. Completely just paralyzed from the waist down. And some healings had taken place. And I knew God's presence was there with the word. But I also knew God's going to raise that man up, but not the way things are. That's going to need the gift of faith. That's going to need working of miracles. God is going to do a special thing with that man. And we're going to wait, we're going to see. And in time, God will touch that man. But this is what we're pressing in for. You just know these things in the Spirit. And the word has gone forth in power to establish. There are 35 New Testament churches now there, waiting to be nurtured and brought forward and progressed in the things of God. Can any man do that? Can a mere vessel? That's got to be the power of God. After 25 years waiting on God, going round the wilderness, seeking God, learning the principles. Every trial each one of us has gone through has taught us the principles of warfare. Because we have to overcome. These things do not happen automatically. Every promise, every provision of Calvary has to be appropriated by faith, and that's our warfare, because Satan is going to stand opposing. Praise God. And we realise a lot of that is our own fear and pride. The Holy Spirit has come to make sure that we appropriate every blessing of Calvary. He's come to make sure that we inherit our inheritance. He's on our side. He's the comforter. He's the paraclete, the advocate, the helper. If God be for us, who can be against us? Really, friends, we are the problem. We are the ones that are in the way. As we deal with that fear, as we deal with that pride, as we address these things as though we were addressing Satan himself. Because maybe in reality we are. The powers of darkness feed off the flesh. So God has given us the cross. As we take that seriously, as we know, Lord, show me, what is this cross? What is the cross? Then we'll begin to understand our warfare. That we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. No man is the mere enemy. No man is the problem. It's what's working through him. But as we take up that cross, and as we begin to experience the life, the presence, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, we'll have that discernment, we'll have that compassion, we'll have his authority working in his name. Praise God. It's not power. Don't worry about power. It's authority. That faith is authority in the name of Jesus. Power is of God, and he will dispense it as he wills. But what you and I have is authority in the name of Jesus. A policeman can hold up a whole line of traffic, not because of the power in his hand when he does that, but because of the authority in his uniform. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Wants to encourage us. He loves us. He saved us. He lives within us. And that's what's pulling down the strongholds of Satan. And this is, I believe, one of the next things that God has for us, to begin to experience a regular manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in our dealings, in our lives, in our witness, in our ministry. Praise God. Praise God. We're moving in. Don't call it the devil's territory. It's ours. It belongs to us. He's usurped it. We're moving in to what belongs to us.